The 100 Years' War, Paris Threatened, 1357. Now, it's about Christmas time when the Dauphin issued orders summoning large numbers of soldiers to be in Paris by January the 14th of 1358. There is every reason to believe that the three marshals were responsible for this momentous step. January the 14th was the date when the Estates General was due to open, and the King of Navarre was expected to return to Paris. The ostensible reason for the summons was to protect the capital against the Anglo-Navarrese companies in the Île-de-France, but there can be little doubt that the real object was to enable the Dauphin to hold his own against the partisans of Navarre and the mobs of Étienne Marcel. Most of the men were recruited in eastern France and the Francophone territories beyond the Rhone River, where the Dauphin and his friends still had strong personal connections. Burgundy and the Dauphiné supplied the largest contingents. During the month of January, about 2,000 of them responded to the Dauphin's summons and arrived outside the gates of Paris. Amaury de Melun was in Normandy trying to recover the confiscated castles of the House of Navarre, and he found himself stopped at almost every point. The royal captains in command of these places simply refused to surrender them, even when presented with the Dauphin's personal command. At Breteuil, Évreux, Pont-d'Omer, and Posay, the garrison commanders all returned the same answer. They had been appointed, they said, by King John II, and would answer to no one but him. There is no evidence that the Dauphin or his friends were behind this, but it surely is likely. Well, the King of Navarre responded in kind. He regarded the Dauphin's summons as a provocation. He accused the young prince of secretly encouraging the defiance of the royal Castilians in Lower Normandy. He declared that the Dauphin had repudiated his engagements and summoned his allies and their retainers to support him by force of arms. Basically, it's a declaration of war. On Christmas Day, 1357, the French prisoners in England attended a splendid celebration of Edward III at Marlborough, and he was in a mood of fresh optimism. At Mantes, Charles of Navarre sat down to dinner in the great castle, overlooking the Seine with the captains of the principal English and Navarrese companies, and took them into his service for the coming civil war. Then, at the beginning of January 1358, Charles traveled to Rouen to exact revenge on the King of France in the most public way he could devise. He had agreed with the Dauphin to take down the skeletons at Bioral without ceremony, but on January the 10th, he had them carried on biers in the failing light of the afternoon to the site of their execution, where a requiem mass was sung by light of 100 torches. The bodies were then carried back all along the route of the Trumbles to Rouen Cathedral, where they lay in state all night as the crowds filed past to pay their respects. On the following morning, Charles made an impassioned speech to the inhabitants of Rouen from an upper story, full of pity for his own suffering and recrimination against his enemies, in which he referred to the executed men as martyrs. In the first few weeks of the new year, the English and Navarrese companies passed through Beauce, which was southwest of Paris, destroying everything before them. The Seine Valley was impassable. The main roads to Chartres and Orléans blocked. On January the 16th, 1358, an English company sacked Estampes, just 30 miles from the capital, taking a lot of prisoners. Another group destroyed the village of St. Cloud. The flames from that must have been visible at the gates of Paris. A few days after this, James Pipe established his headquarters in the castle of Éperon, a great square keep of the 11th century belonging to the Counts of Montfort-le-Marais, which stood on the main road from Paris to Chartres at the edge of the forest of Rambouillet. Pipe installed a garrison of about 120 men here and turned it into a center for the systematic devastation of western and southern Île-de-France. Other Englishmen and some Navarrese followed his path. Most of them claimed to be operating under the authority of the King of Navarre. Pipe called himself Charles's lieutenant. The poor Dauphin could do nothing. His garrisons were thinly spread and unpaid. His treasury was empty. At one point, he was reduced to authorizing his garrisons to plunder his own subjects in lieu of wages. The result was to reduce to chaos the few areas which were still loyal and reasonably secure. For most of the population, there was now little to distinguish troops of the government from those of the English or the Navarrese. At Estampes, the garrison of the Dauphin, based at the Church of Notre Dame, and the garrison of the Count of Estampes, based in the keep of La Guardine, were engaged in a full-scale war with each other, as well as the inhabitants of the town and the surrounding region. It is not surprising that when the English arrived, they were able to destroy the town without any effective interference from either garrison. In desperation, the Dauphin appealed to King Edward III to control his subjects. He sent the Seneschal of Anjou to England with a catalogue of complaints about the conduct of the English in France. Of course, Edward was genuinely concerned. He could see his hard-won agreement with John II failing before it was even sealed. Too late, he ordered his bailiffs and constables in the harbors of southern England to stop the flow of soldiers and weapons across the channel. He sent two of his most reliable officers to France to command obedience from his subjects. The officers, Richard Totsham and Stephen Cussington, arrived late January of 1358 in the Île-de-France, but they could do no more than the Dauphin could. They toured the war zone under heavy guard, accompanied by the Seneschal of Anjou. Most of the English captains refused to acknowledge their authority. They claimed to be fighting for the King of Navarre. A few declared themselves for some other French politician, who they said would recognize them sooner or later as his own. None of them was willing to surrender his gains or to abandon the looting of one of the richest regions in Europe. And now, of course, the Estates General is about to meet in Paris, and the Dauphin could be caught between the mob and the pro-Navarrese. So it's going to get really interesting next time. Now, the sources for this, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylands, and Volume 2 of The Hundred Years' War, Trial by Fire by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.